Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to. Hello and welcome to, this is a very special edition of what I like to call my podcast. I'm Richard Herring from Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or Rahalastapa, as it should be called. Who are you?
I'm Lulu from Cuddle Club.
Oh, yes.
It's a special bonus episode, isn't it?
It is. It's not like any other episode. We've been forced together.
No. Richard,
yes.
Remark it. It's the collab everyone's been asking for.
They have. Ever since our FUBAR show, people would say, when are you two going to get back together?
Oh, my God. Do you remember the FUBAR show when I used to come in with bottles of cider because I was going through a bit of a tough time, wasn't I? And we started recording at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. I think you started earlier than me. And then I'd come in with a big bag of cider and you'd tell everyone I was having a breakdown. And I said, it's not going to last long. And you said, it's going to last longer than you think.
Well, I'm glad to see you at the other side. But what this is the Audible Comedy Club, brought to you by Audible and Acast Creative.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Mm. So this is, and no one's drinking cider during this one, so we're fine.
No, we're taking this one professionally.
We are professional. Do you drink? You don't drink at all. I've stopped drinking. You don't drink at all, do you?
Look, we're sober now.
Yeah,
and look, what are you drinking right now?
I am drinking Adam's Ale water.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Adam's Ale.
Adam's Ale, that's what we used to call it. Tried to do a comedy routine about that and had everything one grade up. So Adam's beer was marijuana, and Adam's marijuana was cocaine. Never worked.
What about Eve? She might like the session.
No, she just likes snakes and apples.
She's at home. She's at home. waiting to get pregnant. So one thing that we know about our audiences is that, well, they like what we call comedy.
Yeah, they do.
We call what we do comedy.
Yes, and they like it. You know, and that's nice.
More people like your comedy than mine, judging by how much you make per month, judging by what I make per month.
I don't think that's true. And you can't judge it by economic success. You've got to judge it by the laugh and the people coming to see you and the jobs. I'm completely self-employed. You get jobs with other people. So, you know, that's
yeah, fine. That's true. What Taskmaster? You were allowed on that?
I was allowed on that briefly.
So anyway, you must love us. That's what's on the script.
We hope so.
That's what's on the script. So we're going to recommend other podcasts like a friend.
Yes. I've spent like the last month listening to some brilliant podcasts on Audible. There are fantastic ones there. And we got to choose our favourite ones. I have chosen my old friend and Taskmaster rival,
confidant,
Daisy May Cooper, doing a podcast called Educating Daisy. Mm. You, Lou, have you chosen?
Well, yeah, lady can speak for herself, I suppose. I've chosen Chitting About from French and Saunders because me and Jennifer Saunders have got a very similar name. And also I like the podcast.
Okay, that's good. So over the next 30 minutes or so in this edition of the Audible Comedy Club, we're going to tell you exactly what we thought about it.
We are going to tell you exactly what to do, okay?
We're going to tell you what to listen to. We're going to tell you what we think about the comedians behind this.
Okay, so you better start because otherwise you get quite violent if you don't get to lead, don't you?
I just lose concentration after 10 minutes. Yeah. So I'm starting. Right. I have been listening to Daisy May Cooper's Educating Daisy, and I think this is a really interesting idea for a podcast, and I sympathise with it a bit. Daisy May Cooper does not like reading books. She's put off them by school, I think. She's only read the Goosebumps books, which I haven't read, which she enjoyed as a child.
And so she has got some of her celebrity friends, and they're a very good range of guests to try and recommend her a book that they think she will like. I mean, it's a fool's errand. She's not really going to like any of them. I mean, she's such a clever and funny woman and just such a brilliant writer, yet she's put off by complicated words. She doesn't like the idea of having to read difficult books. She calls the fantastic episode with Tim Key. She says the Mr. Men books are quite long to read,
yeah.
which Tim Key disagrees with. So she's quite a difficult person to convince to read books. But it's sort of not necessarily about that. It's very interesting. The only one of the books I've actually read that are recommended is Black Beauty, that Katie Price, a.k.a. Jordan, recommends, which I read as a child. I hadn't read any of the others, so it shows that I'm, even though I do a book podcast now, I'm not particularly well read.
Was it Katie Price who was on a chat show famously, and then they said, oh, how, you know, is your book good? And she's like, I don't know, I haven't read it yet.
Well, she talks about that in the podcast. She collaborated with someone else, and then she, you know, almost casually mentions that her collaborator has died.
But she didn't do it. Well, that's the next book, is a crime murder mystery.
Yeah, so Katie Price comes up with a story, and then the other person goes off and writes the book. So she's written 74 books that way, Katie Price. She's written 74 books. So that's there's lots of very interesting stuff in that. But it's a really nice idea. And of course, it's just a chance for Daisy May Cooper and her friends from various projects to just riff. And it's very funny. It's sort of, you know, it's like most podcasts, off the hoof. Diane Morgan's a guest, and she spends most of the time eating the free raspberries that have been left in the studio, which is quite good.
Yeah, I listened to that one. That was very good, yeah.
It's, you know, it's a lot. She's got a lovely relationship with people. I think the Tim Key one's my favourite one, just because Tim, he's a brilliant podcast guest. He's been on my podcast a few times, and he's just so sarcastic, but charmingly sarcastic. There's a bit where Daisy May Cooper admits that she hasn't read the script of David Copperfield, the film she was in. And he goes, oh, I thought you were going to say the novel. You haven't even read the script.
And he's
sort of taking the mickey, but in a really nice way. She does say, oh, you're pulling my pants down here. And he says, no, I'm pulling them up. So it's fun, because Tim Key is clearly a highly educated man. He can speak Russian. And yet him and Daisy have a lovely relationship. And, you know, and he tries to recommend Diary of a Nobody, which is, you know, is a bold shot to go for the book you think Daisy May... The idea of this is Daisy May Cooper may end up reading the book she thinks is the best. I don't know if she does. I don't think she will.
That could be series two, where she discusses the books that people recommend.
Yeah, yeah. And again, Tim's sort of surprised that she hasn't read the book. He says, oh, I thought we were going to maybe talk about the book from someone who's read it. But it's, you know, it's charming and it's lovely. Nish Kumar attempts to get her to read a Salman Rushdie book, but a book that Salman Rushdie has written for kids. But Daisy May Cooper thinks that the only experience she has of Salman Rushdie is that he was an extra when he played himself in the Bridget Jones movie. So she thought he was just an extra who couldn't act very well.
Yeah.
So there's loads of funny stuff. And, you know, just what a great range of guests, you know, to have Katie Price and Nish Kumar, Alan Carr's in it. So they're really top-rate guests. And, we had our moments in the Taskmaster series, most notably when I failed to identify a picture of a hippopotamus that Daisy had drawn. And I basically thought she might murder me at that point. The consensus is it wasn't a good picture.
But are you expecting an invite for series two?
No, I don't think so. It's interesting, all the people she's worked with, and that I didn't get the invite. So I would love to get her on my podcast. I love her. I love her. She's very funny. You'll know her from This Country, which is also The Witchfinder she was in. Yeah. She's in the funniest bit of Avenue 5, the Armando Iannucci sitcom. She was brilliant in that. What I loved about her in Taskmaster was she's extremely confident in a way that she absolutely believes in herself. Completely.
Yeah.
Even when she has drawn a very bad picture of a hippopotamus, she believes it's... And I love that about her, because I think, you know, it's such a rare thing.
Yeah.
And she deservedly is confident, because she's just naturally extremely funny. And this is sort of an interesting project, just in terms of her, like, admitting to not being... I mean, it's good on brand for her, because, you know, she is that kind of regular person that you think you might meet in the pub who isn't highfalutin. But she is so smart, it sort of is surprising that she hasn't read more. But, yeah, I want to read a lot of these books.
It's surprising that she didn't read the script she was in. That is surprising, but you sort of think, well, if you can get away with it, why not?
Most people would at least read the book or the bits of the book they're in.
Yeah, yeah. She said she only, Tim said, did you watch it? And she said, oh, watch the bits I'm in.
Yeah.
Whereas most people are the opposite. They hate watching themselves back, but she only wants to watch herself. I think that's good on her.
I was trying to work out what book I would take in for it. What book would you take in if you were a guest on that podcast?
Now you're talking.
I am.
Oh, now I'm on the spot. I did like Catcher in the Rye. They mentioned that, and Tim was one actually, and he said it's a very short book, and it is, that's quite easy to read. So, I mean, I know it's quite boring and a bit obvious, but it is a really funny, good book. Oh, I know what I'd take in. So Deborah Levy did a trilogy of her life. And the second one, well, they're all amazing, but the second one in particular I thought was outstanding. And it's quite interesting for women in artistic roles because they have to do so much of like the domestic and emotional labour if they've got family. And it's just about that, basically, and her about her sort of swimming away from her marriage and her life. But it's fantastic. So maybe I'll bring that in.
I mean, people did a good job in making her interested. I don't know if she would write about it. The difficulty, I think you have to think, what's a good book? But you also have to think, what's a good book that she might possibly actually read? Because I would go for Slaughterhouse-Five as my favourite book, which, again, is quite an easy read. And a lot of comedians like Kurt Vonnegut because he's funny and he writes in quite short little bursts and has your little sub-chapters and whatever. So I think she might like that. But I think I might take James Acaster's Classic Scrapes just because that's really funny. And I think there's a chance she might read that because it's one of the funniest books I've read. It's a really good podcast. And I think what's great about it is it's just entertaining. It does, the books are by the by. It made me want to read some of them. So that's quite good. But it also, you can enjoy it just for the kind of crazy conversations and the routes that Daisy will go down and what she'll misinterpret and misunderstand. So it's a really enjoyable series. I actually just listened to them all in a row and in one go.
And that's you.
That's me. That's the kind of guy I am. Shall we talk about your podcast now? So the podcast you chose?
Yes. So my choice is French and Sanders Titting About. Do you object to ladies over 30 nattering away?
I think they should be allowed to do it, Lou. I think that definitely, I don't object to it.
I think they should be paid to do it. I'll go one step further.
Yeah.
No, it's lovely to just hear two national treasures talking sort of candidly, you know?
Yeah.
I really like it because it's quite loose, so you get to know them. And you do feel like with podcasts as well, people's guards are down a bit more. Well, people have got in trouble, haven't they, for that? Sometimes the guard is down too much. But with them, their guard is down. They're not sort of on someone else's TV show. It's there. You feel like, well, you're in their front row. And I like it when two people are already friends. You know, you can't really fake that, can you?
No.
And they're funny. They're just nattering away. That's so sexist, the word nattering. they're just nattering. You know how us girls do. No, but there's not many podcasts with two women talking. But you feel like they'd be saying that stuff if they weren't recording it. So I quite like that.
Well, they know each other so well as well, don't they? It's surprising. It's surprising if anything comes up that they surprise each other with it. So it's quite nice. And there's lots of very bad jokes, deliberately bad jokes in there, which are fun as well.
Yeah, but they don't care. So it's quite nice. And yes, they're at a lovely age, Rich. They're at a gorgeous age where they don't, you know, they're not concerned about always saying the right thing. They just can't be bothered with sort of over-labouring stuff. I liked when there was one episode when I think it's Dawn French, it's got to be one of them anyway, said she hates when people sort of say, I'm sitting in my truth.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, fuck off, I'm sitting in my truth. That means that you think that I'm not telling the truth. And they just went off on one about it. And it's lovely to hear, actually. Very real, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, were you a big fan of French and Saunders when you were a tiny child growing up? Were they a big influence?
When I was five. No, I'm older than that. Do you know what? I wasn't really a fan of anything growing up.
Right.
I had no taste, no personality. I remember liking Blue Peter, and that was about it.
Yep.
What I mean is, of course, I watched things and liked things. I loved Ab Fab, actually, but I didn't become obsessive about anything. You know how, like, a lot of men could quote
Monty Python?
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, my God, like, get in the moment. I wasn't, like, fanatical about stuff, but I did obviously, like, really like Ab Fab. And also, women aren't often, not to bang a bloody drum, but women often aren't given national treasure status. It's reserved for men a lot of the time. So it's quite nice that they're both national treasures and they really like each other as well. There's no, like, competition between them. They just both bicker a I love it.
No, it is. It is. I've had Dawn on my podcast, and it is. You know, they genuinely love each other. They would hang out with each other regardless, which is not true of all Double X, I have to say.
Oh, I think you'd know, babe.
So it is really lovely. It's quite, I believe they've managed to get through this long together without ever arguing. But it really comes across, and you know, because they met at teacher training college and everything, didn't they? So it's like a long, long time their relationship.
Yeah, and they talk about that. They talk about how they met. They talk about how lucky they feel that they are, and then they talk about what they'd do if they weren't doing that. And Jennifer Saunders, to you, like I said, she'd love to go around people's houses and collect antiques and stuff. And there was a bit where Jennifer says she was in a play and she had to take all the stuff on the last day to the car. So she's sort of telling the audience what it's like when you're collecting, like, your mug and your flowers they've given you and all these clothes. And she was just like, oh, I'll just run out before, you know, anyone sees me. So she's running to the car with all this stuff, like, laden up. So relatable for me. And not the flowers so much, but your boxes, whatever, doing a run out, you know. And she's trying to get in the car and then she drops everything and falls over the curb. And then everyone's quite patronising to her. And then they start recognising her. Oh, and then there was a story about Dawn said about she had a guinea pig that was given to her by Jennifer years ago for the kids. The kids really, really wanted a guinea pig. And they were so careful, like, kept it with the neighbour the night before Christmas and everything, and then brought the guinea pig in, and the kids were, like, beside themselves, and then the dog ate it.
Oh, God.
So gross. So something for everyone in this podcast. They're not trying too hard. They're just sort of talking about their lives, and they're very relatable. Like, Dawn French was saying that she got into a habit of eating, like, 5 or 6 toffees before bed after she's cleaned her teeth. And then Jennifer Saunders talking about her sort of back compressing into itself and how she should be doing exercises, but she's not. It's just good stuff. And then Dawn French is saying that her teeth are shrinking and she can't tell M&S because she does adverts for them. And she's like, I can't tell them my teeth are shrinking. lovely stuff.
And it feels very, you know, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of prep gone into this either. It does feel very much like this is just the conversation we would have regardless of the microphones being here or not, really. So it does, you know, it is just sit down, get on with it.
It feels like they're just genuinely, like, hanging out, and why not let us have a little listen in and stuff.
Yeah. If you could have them tit about any subject, what subject would you have them tit about for you about?
I would like Dawn French to tell us about life with Lenny Henry, but that is very, that's very unfeminist to be like, oh, what an amazing woman with a terrific career who's, you know, national treasure. Could you tell us about your ex-boyfriend, mate?
Yeah, it'd be, you know, I'm sure stuff like that will come up. They do, you know, she does mention Lenny's mum, doesn't she, in one of the episodes. So, you know, I think, like, that's the beauty of it. They're just chatting. I think you will end up getting stuff that they wouldn't give to anybody else just because they've forgotten.
She does mention him a bit. I mean, she was with Lenny, I think she calls him Len, when the guinea pig got eaten. And we cannot blame Lenny for that. That is just the timeline, but it's not related. So the guinea pig would have gone anyway. Did you like Dawn and French when you were a grown man?
Yeah, I like Dawn and French. I did like French and Saunders. Yeah,
Dawn,
you know,
French. Dawn, did I say Dawn and Dawn French?
Dawn and French. Yeah, I like Dawn and French. I like French. No, I love Dawn French especially, but both of them, you know, because I was the thing that really got me into comedy. I'd loved Monty Python and stuff, and quoted Monty Python to all my friends, of course, like you were talking about, but it was the Young Ones, and they were in, and all that early comic strip stuff, and the Five Go Mad in Dorset, which they were both in, the comic strip shows.
Yeah.
So I kind of loved them from that. But then I remember being on with a show, a benefit gig with them, like, in the early 90s, and I was kind of a little bit overwhelmed.
Oh, wow.
And so then was, like, I was sort of quite rude to Dawn French because I was sort of like, oh, you're from the previous generation. We're enemies and all that sort of stuff. But I was sort of joking.
No.
And she was like, oh, it's Richard Herring from Cheddar. She knew all about me and stuff. And but she was so lovely about it and actually was always very nice. I tried to cast her in a sitcom and she sent me a really lovely note back saying she couldn't do it because of
saying you were so rude to me that I couldn't do it.
But I think she's, I always loved funny women. And so Dawn French is one of those kind of childhood pinups in terms of both being funny and being, you know, super sexy as well. So, you know, it's, they've got a big place in my heart, yeah.
And Jennifer Saunders was on our show, me and Mel Gedroych's show, Unforgivable.
Yeah.
And she was so nice. Not just really funny, but also such a team player, like really willing on the whole show. Oh, God, she was good. Very classy, I'll say that, Rich, there. But the girls are very classy.
Well, that is both of our choices, Lou. But we have a wild card mm-hmm. thrown in that wasn't our choice that we had to listen to, but I'd already listened to it. And it's a brilliant podcast. It's from the Oast House, the Alan Partridge podcast, which... Mm. I suppose the overview of it is Alan Partridge has realised, A, that he hasn't done a podcast, he's done lots of other things, but mainly can't get work anywhere else, so has decided to jump on board the podcast train, even though he's quite rude about podcasters being sort of sallow-faced men sitting on their own who can't have conversations. And there's a nice...
Close to home, isn't it, Rich? Close to home, Rich, isn't it?
It was a little bit close to home. There's a nice pointed thing about people preferring the early work and saying that's best, but they're idiots and stuff like that.
Close to home again. Rich.
Close to home. It's the Gibbons brothers era who have done a fantastic job with the character. It's a fantastic character, obviously, and there's been many iterations of it. And I do like what the what's been going on recently, the books especially, which are also available on Audible, I'm sure they're... And they're brilliant audiobooks. So it's great to see Alan Partridge doing a podcast, I think.
Can I just say, Audible, I've got 3 credits to use. I'm biding my time.
Yeah. Have you bought Can I Have My Ball Back yet? My latest audiobook. You could use one of your credits on that.
Ooh, let me have a think.
Okay. So it's all about me and my testicles. So I think you'd like...
Well, you could just tell me, I suppose. Also, I'm never not eating, and I don't think the two go together. if you pre-order a copy of my book on Audible out this week, 17th of August, then I will buy your, you sort of waffing on about your ball.
Okay, I'll definitely buy that.
My book, What's That Lady Doing? Full Starts and Happy Endings, all the terrible things that I've done. So if you buy that, you can pre-order it now, okay. Or maybe you order it now, then... I will think about ordering yours.
Okay. I'll definitely get it. And you can cut. I do a book club podcast. You can come on and talk about that. So, you know, there we go.
Oh, yes, please. Good. I will get your book, Rich. You've written loads of books. So I feel like it's not as special because I feel like you shit them out. Whereas mine took a year and I really concentrated on it.
shall we go back to talking about what we're meant to be talking about rather than advertising ourselves in this promotion?
Yeah. Steve Coogan, Alan Partridge, obviously genius.
Yeah.
It's annoying how good he is. Every line is really good. And it is very, you're not seeing a character like it. It's one of those characters that is now just in the ether forever.
Yeah. But it's like beautiful little choices of words. But even when like he falls over or something, just the noises he makes, it's the sounds he makes. It's, you know, it's just that, it's such a perfect character of pomposity, you know, and failure. But it's somehow he keeps on going. And I love all these new iterations. And I think the audiobooks and this podcast are almost the best of all of it. I quite like the BBC show at the moment, wow. but I think because you get really into depth about his life.
Yeah,
you know, he's got his dog downstairs not letting him out of the house and everything. It really adds to stuff. Now, I think knowing you and I'm Alan Partridge are very difficult to beat.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's necessarily better than that, but I think it's. What I love about it, A, Steve Coogan is now the right age to be Alan Partridge, which is terrific.
Yeah.
But B, I think just the depth of being able to go, you know, which you couldn't have envisaged in the 1990s that you'd be able to do or books about the character, but definitely podcasts, you know. So to have 2 series of this extra stuff about the character, it's so subtle the way he, you know, just the way he turns around his opinion on podcasts just because Audible of giving him the money to do them, suddenly podcasts are a great idea when he would have been sniffy and not liked them before.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got these, sort of this prejudiced character, but really just sort of narcissistically prejudiced. Anyone who has spoilt his career or not helped him is his enemy. There's a lot of people like this. There's a lot of people in show business like this.
That's what I was going to say. It's very true to the, it's funny because we've all met them. We've all, and sometimes we are them. Uh-oh.
Yeah, as a person who used to be on the TV and then is now doing podcasts in his Oast House. Yeah, I'm quite like Alan Partridge.
But you're winning, Rich, because you do better from the podcast than any TV work. So this is when, you know, you're ahead of the curve. You always have been. I'll say it, ahead of the curve. You twitched.
I always have been.
Your poddies. It's quite remarkable.
Wonderful. I'm very happy. Unlike Alan Partridge, I'm very happy. I think what's an interesting thing about it is, as well, again, unlike the he did the radio one in the studio all the time, he did the TV one that's in the TV studio. This one takes him out on location, so he's in the Oast House, but he's also out and about walking his dog and falling over or going places and going on dates and things like that. Is it nice to see him living his life?
I love all that. I was thinking when I was listening to it how well they use the sort of sound, and the production's just really good because you never get bored, because, you know, when he goes in and noses around a neighbor's house and then he's sort of making speculation, oh, this is a divorced man, you know, and then he sort of peeks in his house. There's always a good like bit of the story to keep you involved, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's as opposed to maybe the other ones that feel like these are very funny people sitting in a studio and being spontaneously funny. I think what's amazing about this one is the production values are high, but also it's obviously densely scripted, even if he does ad lib off it. I mean, he talks about, Alan Partridge says some of it's made up and some of it's scripted, but I think it's a brilliant script by the Gibbons brothers. Do you think it's one just for the fans, or do you think you can listen to this as never having heard of Alan Partridge? Do you think you'll get it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've never heard of him and I enjoyed it. it's you don't get as many character podcasts, as many scripted podcasts.
No.
And if this is the level, I can see why, because that's hard to beat.
Yeah, it's true. For fans will enjoy it, because obviously you get like a lot more in-depth into the character and there's some cross-references and there'll be jokes that you understand having been a fan of this character, which I think most people must be. I think most people are aware of at least one iteration of Alan Partridge before this, if they haven't read all the books and haven't seen the satellite TV series. But I think fans will get a lot out of it. But I think you're right. I think you could give this to somebody who'd never heard of Alan Partridge, and they might for a second think it was a real guy, I guess. Just how long do you think it would take someone to twig that it's, if you gave someone this and didn't say it was a comedy show? I think it's so real that I think some people would believe it was a real person.
No.
Yeah.
Although when you tweet something or put it on Instagram and you're clearly joking and then people reply, you know, as if like you hadn't thought it could be a joke. So yeah, maybe. Well, thanks for joining us in our inaugural Audible Comedy Club episode, brought to you by Audible and Acast Creative. If you want to discover more episodes from the Audible Comedy Club series, then you can do so across the following podcasts over the following weeks. Telling Everybody Everything with Catherine Ryan. I love that. Dame Baptiste Questions Everything. Drunk Women Solving Crime. That's your wife in that
one.
That's
my
wife, and it's brilliant. I've been on that one. That is one of my favourite podcasts. And The Guilty Feminist.
Yeah, and I like the way it says inaugural, Lou. It implies we might get to do some more of these. So fingers crossed. It's been fun. Would you like to do some more?
Yeah, lovely.
If you want to listen to the podcast that we've discussed today, all you have to do is download and subscribe to Audible, audible.co.uk. By doing so, you'll also have access to podcasts and audiobooks from other amazing comedians. Look, the wonderful Alan Davies is doing As Yet Untitled. That's brilliant fun. Me and Lou have both done the TV show of that. And I will also recommend Dara O'Brien's Time Wasters.
I would go for Lolly Adefope because the advert for it is one of the best things I've ever seen, and she's very, very funny. And Mo Gilligan, because I think he's just a very interesting voice on the scene, actually.
If you want to find out more about Audible's offering, head over to audible.co.uk. The good thing about Audible, if you're not a member as well, Lou, is you get your first month for free.
Listen to Comedy Now on Audible. Subscription required. See audible.co.uk for terms.
Thanks, Lou. I'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Love you, darling. Take care. Bye.
Love you, darling. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.